Hi, this is Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Sonic Scoop podcast. And today, I'm going to try answering a question that comes up quite a bit, which is, how long should it take for me to finish a mix? Or if you're mastering, how long should mastering a song take? And I'll give you my actual key to how long it's going to take me to master every song, and I'll give you the breakdown of that. Also, I'll try to answer a little bit, how long should it take to like really record a song or an album top to bottom? And I want to get right into this one. So we're going to do the briefest shout outs to our sponsors. I'm just going to give a shout out to you for smashing the like button. If you do that here on the YouTube version, or if you're on the audio only version, if you want to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you also get your podcast, it's super duper appreciated. Let's dive right in after I shout out one more. Sound Toys, sponsoring this week's episode, making some of my favorite creative mixing effects throughout anything they make for free at soundtoys.com. All right, now let's get into it. How long should this stuff take? And here is the answer. The answer is nobody cares. I want to get that out of the way first, because the real answer to how long should it take is it doesn't matter. And I only want to lead with this because there's a lot of people who pride themselves in, I spent so long doing this, or I spent so many hours in the studio, or this, you know, we spent so long making this album, we put so much time into this mix, and nobody cares. Nobody. I mean, maybe if you're telling a story about how many hours went into making this beautiful marble statue, great, you can tell a story about how many man hours went into it and all that. Fine. And maybe that story could be a marketing point potentially. And that's essentially what people are doing when they're telling you how long they spent in the studio doing something, is that they're doing a kind of marketing. You should care about this song because of how long we spent on it. And great, maybe that'll attract someone's attention initially. But after their attention has been attracted, nobody cares. They just care about whether or not the song makes them bob their head, or whether it, you know, pulls on their heartstrings, or whether it's a cool, interesting sonic puzzle. That's what they care about. They don't really care how long it took. And the same thing is true with your mixes and your masters and your recordings. If I master a song for someone and it takes me literally 2.5 minutes and it sounds amazing and they're blown away by the results, great, done. Would it have been better if it took me 2.5 hours to master that song if the results were the same? No, it would have been worse. It would have been worse for me as a person, and maybe it would have been worse for them because I'd have to charge them more if that's how long it was taking me to master every single song. 2.5 hours for every single song. If it took me that long to master every single song, I would need to charge more than I do. So it would be better if it only took 2.5 minutes. I could charge less if that's how fast every master took. As long as they're equally blown away by the result. And the same is true for your mixes and your recording. So I want you to bake that into your mind. And one of the best ways you could raise your rates, if you're looking to, you know, do this professionally for a career, your side hustle or whatever, any of this music stuff, is to be able to deliver the same quality in less time. And to do that, you need systems. We had an episode about why you need a system for mixing. Definitely look that up. Why you need a system for mixing Coletti or Sonic Scoop, and it should come up. It was a good podcast episode about that idea about mixing faster and more efficiently, all that stuff. But I want to get that out of the way first. Now, with that said, I can give you some guidelines and some targets for how long it should take. In general, if you're spending a week to mix a song, you're probably doing it wrong. Now, there may be some exceptions to this. I'm going to throw in a whole bunch of exceptions. People like to bring up Mutt Lange, who did, you know, a bunch of big hits, eventually with Shania Twain, but before that, you know, in his kind of rock and metal days. Def Leppard, I think he was doing some of the early stuff. And, you know, people really liked his sounds that he was getting. And apparently he spent a lot of time on mixes. That's the story of Mutt Lange. But in general, spending a long time mixing something is because you're doing it wrong. Again, there could be exceptions to this. We've made the Mutt Lange one. The other big exception is if you're learning how to mix. You might revisit mixing the same song 3 times. You don't have a system yet. You don't know if what you did made it sound better or worse. And you want to rework this puzzle again and again and again and again. And that's a common thing for people to do when they're beginning. But when you want to get past the beginning stages, you're going to have to get out of that thing where you revisit the same song again and again for a week or a month or whatever it is. And you're going to want to get into the position where you're doing them somewhat systemically and somewhat quicker. So I would say that a good target is that if you're able to mix one song in one day, that's a good starting point and might be the ending point for really complex, dense songs with a lot going on and that need a significant amount of work. A better target, if you're trying to do this at a professional level, I would be saying is to get two songs done in a day, one in the first half of the day, one in the second half of the day. And I think that's a target that a lot of professional mixers shoot for, is can I finish this song completely in something like 4 hours? Maybe less. If I get done two, that would be awesome. But if I get done four, great. And if we're stretching to five, maybe there's a problem here. Maybe there's something that needs to be addressed that's not just in the mix. And you're not going to necessarily start at that level where you're mixing one song in 4 hours and then taking a break and mixing another song in 4 hours or less. But that's something that you could get to. And my course, Mixing Breakthroughs, is mostly focused on giving you a roadmap to get to that kind of productivity where you could turn around two songs in a day. And you're billing a decent amount for each of those songs. Not $25, not $150, but hopefully substantially more than either of those figures. And Mixing Breakthroughs is really all about giving you a roadmap to do that. And even if you're not at a super duper high level, you could make a pretty decent living working with independent artists, new bands, really passionate hobbyists, professionals at the start of their career, mixing their stuff and turning out two songs a day, a good number of days out of the week at a decent rate. You could really make a career doing that. It's not the easiest career in the world to start. I'm not going to pretend that music or audio in general is the easiest career to go and make a six-figure salary in, but it is possible, and building in these kinds of efficiencies are part of that process. But even for your own sanity and sake as an artist, if you're an artist self-mixing your own stuff, I implore you, encourage you and implore you not to spend countless hours upon countless hours mixing your own tracks and listening to them again and again and again and again and again and again and again, because you're going to get worn out on your songs before you've even had the opportunity to go out there and tour them and play them in front of audiences. And if right now you're in a period of time where, you know, concerts aren't a big thing because of, you know, COVID quarantines and all that stuff, then there is online concerts, you know, playing this stuff in kind of a live way, whether it's on a live stream or your off-the-cuff renditions on your YouTube channel or someone else's podcast or guest appearance here or there. Like, that additional support you do for your main releases, or all that additional stuff that your main releases support you doing, that's another way to think about it. You're going to be so worn out in these songs if you spend weeks upon weeks mixing each song and revisiting it, you know, spending 2 hours mixing it here now and then 2 hours some other day, and then it stretches out and you've remixed the song three times. It's going to wear you out in your songs and you're going to fizzle out when it comes time to release. So that's one of the biggest reasons I recommend to artists that they don't mix their own songs, their own releases. And if they do it, to try to be a little bit professional about it, to carve out big chunks of time, like a big 4 or 5 hour chunk of time, and you say, this is the time we have to mix. How good can I make it in 4 or 5 hours? Or how good can I make it by the end of the day today in 8 hours? And this is the only focus block I get, so I've got to do it. And then at the end of that process, if you need to make a few revisions, great. If you need to sleep on it, write down a few notes about what should change, talk to your bandmates, your collaborators, your management, whoever, and create a list of things that you want to tweak, and you go back and you make all those tweaks in another hour or two someday, that's fine too. But that's big. And there's no extra points that you get from taking longer. You get demerit badges each time you take longer. Instead of merit badges, you get demerit badges. You just put a big L on your forehead if you mixed for twice as long and made everything worse. We've all done that, right? When we're learning how to mix and do audio stuff, we've spent, you know, the 3 extra hours working on something, the extra 2 days working on something, and then we're like, oh man, can we just go back 3 versions? It was fine. What did I do? I made it worse. And to some extent, you're only going to learn this stuff through a trial and error process. But also to some extent, you're only going to get fast if you don't learn through a trial and error process and try to take some of these ideas, some of this systemic approach to mixing or mastering, we'll talk about that in a second, all that stuff, and implement it right now. And that's what Mixing Breakthroughs, the course, is all about. If you ever want to do a full-length course, it's just about developing a system for your mixing. In mastering, it's similar. So these days, I really do just mastering. And if I spend a whole day to master a song or 2 hours to master a song, it's too long, right? If I spend 2.5 minutes to master a song and the results are great, that's long enough. But generally, it's not going to take me 2.5 minutes to master a song. Here's how long it usually takes me to master a song. I give myself a rule. The first time I'm working with a new client, I like to budget myself up to 90 minutes on their first track. And that's a long time. That's longer than I would recommend that someone spend mastering one song. In general, I think a maximum of 1 hour is good. And maybe I just start telling myself it should be a maximum of 1 hour to master a track. But I'll usually spend 90 minutes on the first one, or if it's the first track for a big new project that an artist has sent me. Because the most important work really happens there, where I'm establishing the feel that this track or this project should have, how it should sit on the shelf next to every other release out there. So that first session that might take me 60 to 90 minutes on that first track is spent saying, all right, here are some records that I know the artist loves. Here are some records that I love in this genre. Here are some of the big hits in this genre. Where is everything sitting? Like, what does a lot of bass sound like for this genre? What does a little bit of bass sound like for the genre? What is the width in this genre? Like, how deep should things be? Let me just get an overall sense for the lay of the land of kind of what's out there. Because a big part of mastering is not just sweetening and not just correcting things, but making sure it sounds good when played next to other tracks. A component of that is loudness, but a component of that is the EQ curve, the amount of saturation, all this other stuff. Does it sound good in that it melds in and feels like it belongs in the same world as your favorite releases? Or if the goal is to stand out, does it stand out enough? Does it make enough of a distinction between itself and other things that doesn't want to sound like? And doing that, that process of getting the lay of the land, really hearing things, tuning in to where this release should go, and maybe trying a bunch of different ways this record could go. Hey, this is what it would sound like if we took it in a bright direction. This is what it would sound like if we took it in a beefy direction. I like to play around with all of those things. And maybe I do that because I second guess myself too much when I'm mastering. But I want to make sure that I'm giving my clients the best sounding master that they could possibly get. And when they compare it to their favorite records who were mastered by my favorite mastering engineers, they compare it to a record mastered by Bob Ludwig, one of my favorites, Greg Calbe, one of my favorites, Joe Lambert, one of my favorites. When they're hearing it next to records mastered by some of these greats, that it should be like, yeah, it sounds as good as any other great record out there. And I like to take the time to make sure that my clients are getting those results. So I spend the 60 to 90 minutes. But after I've done that in the first track, there could be 4 more tracks on the EP or 9 more tracks on the album. The second track does not take me 60 to 90 minutes. I've done that hard work. Maybe the second track takes me 30 minutes and I try to take no longer than 30 minutes for the second track. And instead of it being a window of 60 to 90 minutes, maybe it's a window of 15 to 30 minutes. And maybe the second track is like that too. But maybe the third track gets a little quicker. And maybe the fourth track gets a little quicker still. And maybe the fifth track, is I've really gotten a sense for now the different types of problems this record is going to throw at me. Like when I got to track 2, it had the bass playing in a different register than on track 1. That's a different set of problems than the first track. So I had to solve this new problem. And then maybe on track 3, we got to the track that has programmed drums instead of live drums. And there's a new set of problems I have to figure out. But once I've done 3 or 4 tracks, I've almost experienced all of the different sets of problems this project is going to throw at me. And then I say, this is one of those tracks that has the problem of the how the live drums sit in this record and the overly sibilant vocals. But I already encountered that on track 2. And I can kind of go back and say, how did I solve that problem? So the process becomes faster and faster as it goes along. And maybe, you know, near the end of a 10-song album, I'm mastering the last track in 10 minutes or less, not because I'm cutting corners and spending less time and getting more tired, but because I've encountered these problems and already know how to solve them. Now, occasionally a project will throw you a curveball. You get to the last track and it's like, oh, the instrumentation has totally changed. This is the first track that's nothing but glockenspiel and banjo and choir. I have a whole new problem to solve. How am I going to make this fit with the rest of the record? Damn, I got to spend 30 minutes or an hour on this one. But that's the general idea, is that for masters, in isolation, like an hour is probably a good target, but maybe you can get it done in 30 minutes, maybe you can get it done in 90. And honestly, some records need so few things when I'm mastering them that I really should have mastered them in 5 minutes, because all they needed was for me to just bring down the low end by like a half a dB and bring up the top end by half a dB and add a tiny smidge of extra saturation and like 5% more width. That's all I needed to do. I barely need to touch it. Like, just sprinkling some salt on it because the mix was so beautiful and the performances were so great and they knew what they were doing. And all I've got to do is not ruin it. But sometimes those are the hardest ones, right? Because I got my ego's involved. I want to be like, pow, I made it better. And sometimes all you're going to do is like, hey, it might sound slightly better. I didn't ruin it. But that's why I charge a decent rate for mastering, is because the person who charges half as much of me as me might have ruined it. They might have done too much. And what I'll do sometimes on those projects, I go in and I say, oh, can I do more? What if I sucked more mids out or boosted the bass more? Try this. I'm like, no, every time I do that, it's worse. It already sounds great. And I'm able to have an emotional battle with myself where I go like, ugh, I guess I can't improve it too much. Let me do the little things that make it sit better with the other tracks and get it up to the right level and just not ruin it. And I have to spend the time to reassure myself of that. Like, no, you tried all the other things. And in your professional opinion, what has to be done is very little. And I have to try those too much approaches before I can say, yep, doing very little, that did it. And who knows? Maybe some of you write into me and say, Justin, I used to be like that, and now I don't do that anymore. Now I just recognize immediately when something sounds good enough and I do very little straight off the bat. And maybe I'll spend less and less time mastering in the future, the more and more confident I get with it. 7 or so years into mastering, that's the level of confidence I'm at, which is a high degree of confidence. But also, I want to try a lot of things. But here's the important thing. I give myself a time to work within. So I hope that gives you a sense. The last one, in case you're waiting for it, is recording. How long should it take to record? I would generally say that you could plausibly, if you were doing things in the old school band tracking way, I'm going to speak to this because I come from the world of playing instruments together. I know it's not relevant to everybody, but we'll get into other forms in a minute, that you could potentially track basics to an entire album, you know, guitar, bass, drums, and then we're going to overdub everything later. You could do a whole album in one day. Usually doesn't turn out very good. It can, but it usually doesn't. Players have to be really good, and they have to really have done their pre-production to do like a whole album's worth of songs at a good level in a day. Generally, I'd recommend if you're taking that basics approach of we're just trying to get our final bass and drum takes, and we'll layer other stuff later, and maybe rhythm guitars or whatever, that you would shoot for maybe 4 songs in a day as a max. It's my general recommendation. I think that's what turns out well, and that's a max, not a minimum. That maybe if you just tried for 2 or 3, they would turn out better, because you could work a little bit more on some of the production choices, like, hey, what tempo should this really be at? Did you really hear what the other person was playing? All of that. And that if you want songs to sound really, really finished, that doing 1 in a day and maybe 2 in a day is the most you should be doing. And if you want to do an entire song, soup to nuts, from like the very first thing that you're recording to the very final track and having the mix practically solidified, if you just spent one day on one song, the song a day approach can be amazing. And you say to yourself, hey, we have this 8-hour window and we're going to do 1 song. You could get amazing results on 1 song in 1 day. And that maybe if you're really super prepared and you have a little bit of extra time to flesh out certain things in the mix later, that maybe you could get really good results, really well fleshed out on 2 songs in 1 day. Or if you wanted to do a more bare bones thing where you know you're going to be doing a lot of overdubs later, that you could get the bones to three or maybe four songs in a day. And that's really the most I would recommend doing. And if you want to record a whole album in one day or across the span of 2 days, that much of the time you're going to have a better result considering that as a demo for when you come back later to do a really nice full production with the one song a day approach, or maybe two songs almost all done in a day. And when I say pretty much all done or almost all done, I mean all of your overdubs. You have your final vocals and your final arrangement and your final little percussion accents that you added and all that stuff. You could do one and maybe two songs really well completed in one day. And anything more than that, you're going to be pretty bare bones with doing overdubs later and so on. But when you budget out a whole album, you often find that if you have a 12-song album, you maybe did that kind of thing where it took you, even though it might have stretched over the course of a few months, if you're doing this, you know, part-time, you'll find that those 12 songs took you anywhere from 12 to maybe 24 days to finish of actual work. And budgeting 1 to 2 days per song completely to have everything done, hopefully just 1 day per song, and maybe it stretches to 2 days per song, would be a good amount of time to generally budget. And that comes down to whether you're doing a song in a day and just finishing it, or if you're doing basic trackings and then adding on. But I encourage those of you who are in the electronic music paradigm to think of it kind of the same way of like, hey, I have a day to make a song. And it's not just the writing of the song and the recording of the song. It's also like getting the mix pretty much there. And when I say you have 1 day to do something, you can always come back to touch things up a little bit, right? You can make notes, you can come back, but you're trying to get the bulk of things done. So that's my general recommendation. A day of work to finish a song. And that could be a half a day to record all the stuff and a half a day to mix it. Or if you want to take longer, it could be a day to record the stuff and a day to mix it if it's a really ornate production. And things, of course, can stretch longer and longer than that. But at a certain point, you're going to reach a point of diminishing returns, meaning spending extra time doesn't get you significantly better results. And at a certain point, you'll hit inverse returns, where spending more time makes things worse. And that is something that happens in music and music production. We're not just a world where diminishing returns are a thing. We're a world where inverse returns becomes a thing when you spend too long on one piece of art. So I hope this has been useful to you. How does it boil down? It boils down to how long should it take? Nobody cares. They only care how good it sounds in the end. And I pray that you can do that as swiftly as possible without sacrificing your results. And I'd encourage you to budget an amount of time, to set aside time, to not make things open-ended, but instead of saying, how good of a song can I make? How good of a song can I make today is a totally different question. Not how good of a mix can I make, but how good of a mix can I make before lunch? Knowing that you have the ability to revisit and make tweaks if you need to. How much good of a mix can I make before I have to leave for the day? How great can I master this track in an hour? How great can I master this album in 4 hours, whatever the time amount is for you. And you may find times that work for you that are shorter than the ones I've said here or longer than the ones that are here, but I hope that's a good framework for you, at least for thinking through this problem for yourself. If you want a system for mixing, you can get it at the full course, mixingbreakthroughs.com. It's not about watching me mix. I'll warn you right now, those of you who just want to watch me mix, there's a lot of videos where I have audio examples and stuff. And Mixing Breakthroughs is more about, like, the core of it, the most important thing there is about you developing a system for mixing and me giving you a roadmap to mixing. But if you want something totally free, most people are going to want something totally free, and that's cool too. I give to you the 5 habits of truly great mixers, which you can get for free at sonicscoop.com/mixhabits. That's sonicscoop.com/mixhabits. If you want to learn how to mix much more efficiently, folding these 5 habits into every mix that you do is going to make you do it quicker and better. Absolutely guaranteed. If you want my free workshop on mastering, you can check it out at sonicscoop.com/mastering101. That's sonicscoop.com/mastering101. Big shout out and thanks to this week's sponsor, Soundtoys, making some of my favorite creative mixing effects. Really awesome stuff. The Devilock Deluxe, the Echo Boy, the Crystallizer, so many cool sounding effects, which you can try out for free at soundtoys.com. So do that. If you haven't already, please hit the like button and tell me in the comments down below, if you're on the YouTube version, how long does it take you to do a mix? How long do you think you should spend recording a song? How long do you think it should take to master a song or an album? What's worked for you? What hasn't worked for you? Tell me in the comments down below. Or if you're listening to the audio only version, shoot me an email at podcast@sonicscoop.com. That's podcast@sonicscoop.com. Also, if you want to leave a 5-star rating and review, if this has been useful to you on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast, that is super duper helpful. So definitely check that out. This has been Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for hanging out with me. See you next time.